Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well, and you can get our podcast wherever you like to get those. I have a quote to start with here today. It's from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, Lesson 10. This is a free correspondence course that you can sign up for at thetrumpet.com. It says, "Much symbolism surrounds the subject of baptism. We need to understand that symbolism to know why God requires baptism of those who want to become true Christians, spirit-begotten children of God." So the idea of baptism is something that is commonly talked about within religious groups, but yet most people don't really understand the truth of it. And there are people that say they were baptized when they were babies and things like that. But when we look at the truth about baptism, we can see it is something that we really do need to consider deeply before committing to it. And we need to really be thinking deeply about what it means and understanding the symbolism of it. We have a few scriptures today to look at, so if you have a Bible handy, please get it out. We can look at these together and see a few things about the symbolism of baptism. And we'll start in Romans 8, and we'll look at Romans 8 in verses 3 and 4. It says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so Christ condemns sin by living sinlessly through the power of the Holy Spirit. When he came to this earth as a human, he kept God's law perfectly, and he did that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is how he condemned sin in the flesh. Now notice Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, talking about Jesus Christ again, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." So he knows what it's like to be a human being, and he knows what it's like to experience pain and suffering, and he went through that in a way that is more extreme than any human ever will. So he knows about those things. It says, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus Christ never sinned. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. And again, he lived sinlessly through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he could do it. He was a human being, but he didn't sin because he relied perfectly upon God and his Holy Spirit. He used that power. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, a few scriptures here right away to set the stage. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He was able to do that and be a perfect sacrifice because, as we've read, he never sinned. He paid the penalty for our sins. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and then he rose again. He was resurrected. Christ's resurrection shows that he triumphed over sin and death. He won the victory. He lived a perfect life, and then he was a perfect sacrifice. Notice Colossians 2, verses 12 through 13. And this gets more into baptism and some of the symbolism here. It says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Correspondence Course, Lesson 10 says, just as Christ died for our sins and was buried, our baptism, being plunged into a watery grave, so to speak, is symbolic of the death and burial of our old sinful life. And as Christ was resurrected in newness of life, our coming up out of the waters of baptism is symbolic of our rising up from our grave to live a new life free from the guilt of past sins and the death penalty our sins have incurred. That's such an important quote there. I'll read it again just so we can understand it. Just as Christ died for our sins and was buried, we read about that already, our baptism, being plunged into a watery grave, is symbolic of the death and burial of our old sinful life. And as Christ was resurrected in newness of life, our coming up out of the waters of baptism is symbolic of our rising up from our grave to live a new life, free from the guilt of past sins and the death penalty our sins have incurred. So I hope we can begin to see some of the symbolism here in baptism. And of course, a child, an infant can't know anything about this. We're not going to talk about, you know, infant baptism and that type of thing today, but that's something you can certainly look into. You know, you can't really be baptized until God has called you and you've counted the cost and you understand what you're agreeing to and understanding the symbolism of what's happening. So, of course, you have to be of an age to understand these things. The quote continues and says, baptism, as these verses show, pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also pictures the death and burial of the sinner and his rising up to begin living a Christian life. You see, there's a change of life that has to occur, the way a person lives. Notice Romans 6, and we'll read a bit here, Romans 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12, and it goes through some of this again. And hopefully we can see, again, the symbolism in baptism, but as we think about that, we have to understand that a person wanting to be baptized, they have to understand these things. And they have to be willing to surrender their lives to God and then walk in a new way according to the law of God and live as Christ lived, relying on the power of God's Spirit to do that. It's a serious commitment, not one to be taken lightly. It's not a momentary emotional high or something like that, although it's exciting. But it's about a commitment to God and a change of life and then relying on the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. That comes at baptism and then the laying on of hands. And there's a lot of detail there. We don't have time to get into all of it today, and you definitely can study into it here in this lesson of the Correspondence Course, Lesson 10. But we're just talking today specifically about the symbolism of baptism. What does it symbolize? We've covered it some, and we'll finish talking about that here. Romans 6, verses 1 through 12. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, what are we going to do if we're baptized? We just keep on sinning and sinning and sinning? Well, no, we need to be changing. He says, God forbid, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. After baptism, there should be a newness of life, walking in a different direction, walking according to God's law, no longer walking in opposition to it and breaking it. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that past life, a way that a person used to live, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And how do we not serve sin? Well, we go forward and we serve God and keep his law. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So there's a change now after baptism and going forward, relying on the power of God's Spirit to then follow God and live like Christ did and obey him. See the symbolism here in baptism. I think we can understand this. Lesson 10 of the correspondence course. Again, just to reiterate the point, it says going down into the water clearly pictures the death of Christ and of our old self. Likewise, being buried or immersed in the water, and again, it's an immersion. It's not sprinkling some drops on the head. It's an immersion. Being buried in the water pictures the burial of Christ and of our sinful life. Coming up out of the water pictures Christ's resurrection and our commitment to walk henceforth in newness of life in obedience to God's law. After baptism, we reckon ourselves as dead, so far as sin is concerned, but alive to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. After baptism and the laying on of hands, which we don't have time to get into here, but that's vitally important, Christ begins to live within us through the Holy Spirit. You could look at Romans 8, verses 9 through 10. God's Spirit gives us the spiritual strength as we yield to God to resist the devil's sinful influence, and it imparts to us the faith and love of God to obey his spiritual law. You can see why baptism is so important, but we have to understand it. The Apostle Paul said, and this is quoting Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So in other words, he wasn't just doing what he would have done normally according to his own will. He was following the will of God. Christ living in me, he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He doesn't just believe in Christ. He has the faith of Christ. And that comes through the power of God's Spirit. The quote says, water baptism is simply an ordinance of Christ by which we symbolically express our faith in him as our personal Savior, our belief in his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is also a symbolic expression of our repentance from sin and desire to totally destroy and bury our old sinful life. Baptism clearly shows our realization of our own sins, our vanities, our wretchedness. It is an outward acknowledgement that our selfish, vain, and sinful old self must die so that we might rise to live a new life of spiritual obedience to God's commandments as made possible through his Holy Spirit. So again, hopefully we can begin to understand a bit better the symbolism of baptism, what the purpose is, and what it's showing. It does mean a lot. And so again, when people think that, you know, they were baptized as a small baby or something, well, they don't understand anything. They're not making any sort of commitment. They don't know anything at that point. This has to be done as an adult and one that's called and really understands what they're committing to and is really willing to follow God's lead and his direction. The quote continues and says, baptism shows our total surrender to God. Total surrender to God. You know, a child can't make a decision like that to totally surrender to God. They don't even understand what that means. Baptism, though, shows our total surrender to God. It symbolizes the complete burial of the old sinful self and are beginning a new life surrendered to the will and authority of God. And when we consider Jesus Christ and the way he lived, that's exactly how he lived. He was surrendered to the will and authority of God, and he always was. He never sinned. And so we have an opportunity when God calls us and opens up our mind to then go forward, learn about his will, see that we need to change, you know, make sure we understand baptism and what it means and the commitment we're making to God, and then go forward and do that and be baptized. Baptism shows our total surrender to God. It symbolizes the complete burial of the old sinful self and our beginning a new life surrendered to the will and authority of God. If you'd like to learn more about this vitally important topic of baptism, and again, we just talked about the symbolism mainly of it today, but if you'd like to learn more about that, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Lesson 10 especially talks about the baptismal process and what's involved. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.